Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another Kalam Cast podcast. With me today is a returning guest by the name of Bilal Ramnak, aka the amazing Jonathan. What have you been up to, brother Bilal?
Alhamdulillah, I've been up to many things. I got accepted to Medina, I've been working on that. But like, what's relevant to this is that I started working on a book of alternative history related to the deen. I wanted it to be very historically grounded. Like, I wanted it to be quite realistic. Because, many alternative histories you read, it's just ridiculous. Like, it is so inaccurate onto what would have actually happened. Like, if that had happened, if that change had happened, it would not have gone that way at all. Right? Mm. I've been reading history since I was like a young kid, and 5, 6, 7, I started reading history.
So when you say alternate history, what do you actually mean?
In the part of the story is basically that the book is set roughly our time now, roughly, maybe a bit in the future. Mm. Actually, it goes over a period of time. So some of it's in the future, some of it's before now. But it's set in a world where the Muslim Khilafah, which covers in this story all the lands today where Muslims are predominant, from Indonesia to Nigeria to the Caucasus, to the Somalia, and obviously all the Arab lands, Pakistan, India, so on. All the lands where Muslims are majority today are within this generally global system of khilaf. It's more complicated than that. You have territories and the...
So a fictional caliphate, basically.
Yes, basically. And that's basically the premise of the story. And you want... For example, I do feature the Ottomans in the story. There is an arc about the Ottoman family and how, like, the... And where they are at in the period of...
So what becomes of the Ottomans in your fictionalized story?
Well, some of them just become regular people. Just like they do now, just like today. I mean, the Ottomans today are regular people, right? Yeah. There is one of them, however, who becomes a noted alim in the story, and another one who does ironically become a governor again, and it's sort of an ironic point, like the And some, of course, some people accuse the Khalif at that time of trying to pander to, certain sentiments and so on, and that's why he appointed. But then people say, no, he was really the most qualified person for the position. He actually becomes the ruler of, like, the wilaya that would be Turkey, right? But a bit more Turkey and a little bit of Europe and so on.
So what sort of motivated you to write this story with a Khilafah somewhere in the background?
It was sort of a merger of few elements. Like, I don't know, I think I always had some interest in, like, alternative history. And alternative history as a subject I find referenced very badly. As I mentioned before, I find very badly written, in that, to me, it does not follow, like, not, I don't know if logical is the right term, but it doesn't follow in a way that makes sense what such a change would bring. But also, I just sort of, one day, ironically, I was at work. I work at a relatively boring job. So your mind's able to wander, like when you have a very boring job. And just one day, a thought came to me, what would it be like if we lived in a world where you had a khilafah? Like, just what would that world be like? A real khilafah, not some extremists in Iraq or something like this. But
right. What
would the world be like today? Because, for example, the story, at least part of it, is not set in the territory of the khilafah. Like, it's set in a different place, like the Muslim main characters go to a place that is sort of like, it's loosely based on Melbourne, actually. Melbourne with a bit of Singapore, and a bit of Malaysia, it's not a real place, but it's like a fictional place that exists in this world. And the way the thing is structured is that you actually have a series of stories that fit together. Like, it's not as if they're totally separate from each other, but there is sort of like, when you go into a particular arc, it's very different, because the way the narrative is set is that there is an older man is talking to a younger guy who is a librarian in the story, and this is how the story starts, that the Khalifa of a particular time dies, and his, like, personal documents and library are sent to this Islamic library attached to a university, and a librarian working in the library comes across a document he doesn't know what to do. He finds a handwritten diary in English. And because in this world, Islam is dominant, the Arabic language is the universal language of communication between different Muslims. All those things like Urdu, Malay, Hausa still exist, right? Arabic is like English to them in the territory of the Khilafah. So he's looking for someone who can speak English.
So basically, if I understand, this is a world where the caliphate took on some kind of dominant role within the world.
Yes, but it's not the only world power.
Right.
Okay. So, for example, there is a group who are, they're called the European Federation, but they're not just Europe. They also include the United States, Canada. Part of Australia is actually in the story is in a complicated situation, because in the story, I thought it'd be interesting if part of Australia was eventually ruled by Muslims from Malaysia, like Muslims from Malaysia, Malaysia Indonesia area.
You did an episode on the far right before this. I'm sure members of that far right will find that a scary thought.
But what happened is that happened before colonialism. Right. So these Muslims, because you know, there's a story about the Muslim Macassans from Indonesia who came to Australia. In this world, these people they became Muslim and they So this like Muslim like part of Northern Australia is ruled by Muslims from that area, and you have, but the people who live there are mostly Aboriginal, but they're Muslim. But the rest of Australia is still became a British colony, and then it became independent. Funnily, if you mention the far, they do appear to some degree, like in that there is a political party who are in the European Federation, who are called the European Democratic Party. That name is meant to be evocative. Who are a far right party, because if you look at a lot of far right political parties, they often use names like that. The Democratic Party, the Freedom Party. Again, they're a far-right extremist party, but their name is very innocent sounding. Even like even something like the One Nation Party doesn't sound that, doesn't sound especially extreme.
It sounds actually the opposite, you know. It sounds very endearing.
Yeah, we're all one nation, we're all together, we're all, you know, it doesn't like, well, I don't know, like the United Kingdom Independence Party or the British National Party or the, my favorite, in Germany, the only surviving neo-Nazi party is called the National Democratic Party. That's their name, the National Democratic, like you would never, there's a party in Canada called the National Democratic Party who are a left-wing political party. You know, it's a very neutral term. So there is an element of the far right in the story, but that's not the focus. They do appear in an arc because one of their people becomes like the chancellor of this European Federation, and he's from America, but he's not actually Trump. He's not actually meant to be Donald Trump, but he is from America, and he becomes the chancellor of this federation, and he tries to sort of make war on the Khilafah, and it becomes an extended arc because this guy is trying to, you know, conquer the Khilafah and this and that.
Okay, sounds very dramatic.
It is. Yeah, but like not all the stories are like that. For example, some stories are just about these Muslim university students.
Wait, so it's like a collection of stories?
Yes, but they're interlinked. Because I said, because the narrative structure is you have this librarian is trying to find someone who speaks English, and eventually he finds an old man. He finds this grumpy old guy who a sheikh he knows and says, "Oh, my teacher knows English." And they go to meet this guy, and he meets the grumpy old guy. He gives him the diary, and the guy opens the diary and says, "Do you know what this is?" And he starts crying. He's like, "Why are you crying?" He's like, this is a diary a friend of mine wrote. I haven't seen him in 50. He died 50 years ago." And so this grumpy sheikh is sort of meeting this young guy, and he's telling him the story of he's translating the diary, but he's telling it as a story. So that's sort of the premise is that, and then like so he's like, well, there's an introduction, then it goes into the story, like what was being talked about here in this diary. And there's sort of hints that he's embellishing parts of the story. It's sort of meant to imply that he's sort of embellishing. And then like later on, someone says, "Did it really happen that way?" And then he'll like, there's like some stories where he goes and checks it later on in the record. And then the end of the story is that the librarian.
You're giving away the ending of the story.
No, I'm not. But like the end of the story is basically that the librarian has understood this document and is going to. Because the point is meant to be that in this world, English wouldn't be a widespread thing.
So basically what I've understood from that is that there's a larger world. There's a lot of world building going on in that
very
situation.
Much so.
So it's interesting. I think because many have probably thought of the question as to what does a modern day caliphate look like?
Yes.
And obviously, I think that topic that we sort of alluded to previously, like, when we talk about modern day caliphate, unfortunately, people lean towards, you know, what they read on the news or hear in the media.
Even Muslims,
unfortunately, they think it's about ISIS, right? When we're talking about something completely different, of course, right? You're talking about a situation where, you know, the administrative requirements of a particular country would be run quite differently, right? You're talking.
And like one thing that the story shows is that the very various wilayat are very decentralized. So for example, the characters at one point they go to different wilayat. At one point they're in the Malaysian wilayat, right? And they find it's still run Islamically, but it's very different to, because one character is an Arab Qurayshi guy, one of the main protagonists is an Arab Qurayshi, and the other protagonist, who is the grumpy sheikh, is half West African of some sort, and his mother was American, but it's not clear what her background was.
Right.
Because,
right.
This is a minor point, his parents disappeared when he was a child. They just vanished. And no one, the story shows what happened to his parents later on, which is a major
turning point.
So I won't discuss that. But the thing is, from his childhood, this character, his parents vanished.
Yeah, it sounds like there's been a lot of thought going on to building the nitty-gritty of this world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Was that a long process, by the way?
It's
an ongoing process.
Thing. Like, it was a long process. It wasn't actually, when I started writing, putting things down, it wasn't that long, but, like, often I find that, like, I'm revising things a lot, so it is an ongoing process. I will read this thing, and I'm like, no, actually, I don't think that fits. Like, you know, or I think that this is, this should be done differently. Or I've put, like, say, I've jotted points down, and then I look over them, and I said, no, that doesn't look right at all, you know, like, that wouldn't work at all, you know.
So how far are you into this book?
I'm on my second draft.
Second draft, okay.
Because I find, like, when I've been doing some reading on a lot of, like, writers, like, many great works of fiction actually take a long time to write. Like, if you look at the, like, some people can
People don't tend to think that, though.
Like, right. some people can write very fast. They can write a work in 8
Stephen King.
Yeah. But there's, like, example, I mean, with James Joyce, he took, 18 years to write Ulysses.
Wow.
I don't want to take that long, obviously, right? I don't want to take 18 years. But, like, you do see why it takes a while. Right.
Especially since a lot of writers are very perfectionist. They like to get the right words, say it in the right way to make sure, you know, everything is set up in the most appealing manner for them.
Also, one thing I did think is that, like, I'm not that big of a fiction person, right? Although that's changed a little bit in the last 6 months or so. But I find that, like, what very little Muslim fiction there is written is there's some good stories, but they're very grounded. If you find, like, a novel is written by a Muslim that's good, it's, like, usually a very grounded. It's basically set in, like, real life. Like, it's, like, it's not usually these sort of grandiose, like, alternative world stories that you have in other people's fiction, because, again, it's not that the Ummah is averse to fiction, but fiction is not really our thing. Like for our Ummah, our great literature is works of ulama, it's works of fiqh, it's works of, you know, even poetry. It's not, you know, fiqh. Whereas in the West, or even, say, Japan, great literature is fiction.
Mm.
There's a very different tradition there. And actually, that's one thing I will mention, is that I was not even really into reading novels until I happened to come across some Japanese novels that I found very interesting, because they were very different to the novels I'd studied in high school.
Why is that? What's so special about these
novels? Just the style of them was very, very, like, for example, it was written, like, almost as if this is not a story, this was like an inner monologue of a person in a particular period of time, because the author who I read was someone who was such a perfectionist. He would visit play, he would get every historical detail perfect before publishing. It just so happened it's that these other people happened to exist in this other thing. My story is a bit different, in that it is an alternative, but it's something that could have happened. Let's just put it that way. Theoretically, the story that is happening could have happened.
Mm.
Right?
So it's very much speculative fiction, as they say.
Yes, yes. And like I said, the time space, so part of it is set before our time now, but the core of it would be set, like, our era now and how it would be different, right? Like, what? So, for example, one thing that there is not is there are no Muslim minorities in anywhere else in the world, but there is still immigration from people from Ahlul Dhimma. And in that world, that becomes the controversy that gets, like, a far-right party elected. Because it's, like, a politician who says that these, like, the dialogue is literally, they think that Islam is sending these people to us because they're telling us that we're going to be the same as them, they're coming to train us.
Okay, so some social commentary going on up there.
Yeah, right. You know, that's, like, the thing is that these people will... Basically, the point is, because I find that, look, just to briefly touch on that point, that many Muslims sometimes think, oh, why do these people... And it's true that we have plenty of issues and people don't... But we need to realize is there's always going to be people who don't like us. You know, and that's something I wanted to put into that story, is that, like, even when there's no reason to not like, it still exists, right? There's still prejudice and so on. But I also didn't... I wanted to make it contemporary, but not true contemporary art. Like, I don't want to make it that it's such a period piece that it has no relevance any other time in the future, right?
Mm.
You know, so I tried to now, and that's why part of it's set in the future, part of it's set in the past.
Okay, how much time do you put into this thing?
It varies wildly, because some days I might spend, I don't know, 3-4 hours, and another day I'm like nothing, right? Because it really depends. We have other things going on.
When are we looking forward to have a read through it?
When it's sort of even I wouldn't say it's anywhere even halfway complete. Even though I have the draft, like, where I want it to end up complete, the actual story I wouldn't say is anywhere near.
I think that's pretty good. So we've got your take on it as you're in the middle of it whilst you're writing it. It's going to be interesting to perhaps have you on again when you're completely done with it.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But it'd be embarrassing if you don't finish it now.
That's great. Like, now I'm forced to continue it.
Yeah.
In fact, I've heard that. One of the best things you can do is to tell...
Embarrassment is a good motivator.
No, that you can tell a lot of people I'm doing this thing, so then, like, it's just like if you just something you keep to yourself, you can just say,
That's true.
You know, there's nothing, don't worry about that.
Are you looking for a date specific, like end of 2020, end of 2021?
See, that's the thing, I don't want
18 years.
Like, no, I don't want to do that though. I want to just get it right. Like, if it takes me, I don't know, 3 months, if it takes me 2 years, like, it just, I want to get it right. I don't want to just say, I need to have it done by X period of time. Because that can then lead you to, especially when you're busy with other things, you rush it, you don't do it very well, you know, you just, and then it's not very good, right?
Mm.
Like, I think I've seen some fictional works where you can sort of get that. Like, you can sort of see that the author was just rushing to get it done.
Sometimes you can tell. I'm sure it's even present in other forms of media as well, such as television or movies as well.
It's very present in a lot of comics, a lot of manga, you can see it a little. Because, again, actually, we were mentioning it briefly earlier. Manga, which everyone has to do in a week, you can often see that it's sort of, took someone a week to do this, you know? It's like, it's not as good as it could have been.
Mm. So basically, you want to create something that crafted well,
yes.
You put in a lot of time and effort and thought into.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we talked about perfectionism earlier. Do you think there's some perfectionism in this?
Maybe not quite perfection, but like my mother says, it's not perfectionism, I want to do it properly.
Mm.
It's the same type of thing. It's like, I'm not trying to be a perfectionist, I just want to do it properly.
So what's the way forward? Are you going to be putting 1 hour every day, 2 hours every day to get this job done?
For now I am, but then inshallah I'm going to Medina very soon, so I'm not sure. So when I'm over in Medina, my schedule up will be...
For listeners who don't know, Brother Bilal has recently been accepted to the Islamic University of Medina, and he's going to be studying overseas.
Yeah, so how my schedule will be then, I'll have to see, right?
Okay, so you'll probably be doing more important things during that time.
Exactly.
In a sense, you know, you'll be praying in the Prophet's Mosque, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you'll be reading a lot of useful Islamic literature.
Yeah. Which, by the way, will probably help.
Just
like having a lot of background. Because,
yeah.
Like, you know, you can tell, you read some books, you can tell that the person is well-read in... I mean, especially when you're talking about something like this, someone actually knows what they're talking about. Because if you've seen a lot of Western fiction that talks about Muslims, it's terrible because the person doesn't have any background... background knowledge. They just have very minimal research, and the way they portray the Muslims, like, I've read a Western novel that had some terrorist characters, and I'm like, they would never talk that way.
Mm.
How
do they talk? What do they say?
It's just like, oh, well, these infidels are not respecting our this, that. Just the way they spoke, this is not the way that people who were Daesh would talk, people who were extremists, they wouldn't talk that way.
No, yeah.
You know?
It's very strange. It's a very characterized image.
Yeah. But they would talk, and they would say similar type of things, but it wouldn't be like that.
I think a lot of us have been troubled by interpretation of Muslims in the media, even if it's a very negative interpretation. It's not sometimes linked to reality at all.
Yeah, it's like, that's not, yeah. I think I've never seen a portrayal of Muslims in fiction that I found this is accurate. Like, it's just, like, all of it to me has always come across as, like, at least in Western popular fiction, whenever you see Muslims, I'm sure you can cooperate this, they're portrayed very caricaturally. Very, like, they have these weird ways of talking, like, on your thousand sons. This, you know, it's like, I've never heard a Muslim person ever talk like that.
Mm.
I've never heard anyone speaking Arabic talk like that. I've never heard, I've never read a translation of anyone. I'm like, where?
A thousand pardons or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
You know what it's from? I think it's from the Arabian Nights
Probably.
Book, you know, and people have for some reason adopted that and have thought that's how people from this region
talk. To some extent, my desire is to not refute the Arabian Nights, but to try and, well, not even replace it, but to do something that has a kind of similar style, but is very different. Because like the style I sort of borrowed from the Arabian Nights to some degree, in that you have a narrator who is in a different story talking.
Oh, we're getting another scoop.
But not to that same extent. Like, it's not as if the person is telling a story, then another person tells a story, then you get five. No, it's just like there is a setup. There is this old sheikh talking to this young librarian guy who is an aspiring historian, who also turns out to have connections in the story, which to tell would be a major plot giveaway, but it's important. And there is, like, not all the characters, most of the characters are Muslim, but the English diary belongs to a guy who converts at death. So there's a guy, he befriends the main characters.
A deaf person, you mean?
No, at death, he dies.
At death, okay.
Right, like, again, like, and it's not really a spoiler because it gets said as soon as it, like, in the early chapters. But he's a major character in the story. Like, this person took Shahada, like, just when he was about to die. Like, we knew him, and just when he was about to die, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and then he died.
Okay. Right. So I can appreciate there's a lot of passion for this particular topic. I'm sure there's some people in the community who are very averse to, reading fictional books novels and so forth.
Even I was like that.
Okay.
Right?
Why were you like that?
I say personally, Islamic reference, you think reading is to get knowledge, reading is to, and so you read very sort of Islamically oriented, you read books of fiqh, books of aqidah, books of, which are obviously the furthest thing from fictional books. I think so, that some fiqh sometimes, right? But also just like, I don't know, like, in my case, and even many brothers have talked to, it's like, because you studied English in school, and you read these terrible novels, it sort of sets you off reading fiction.
Do you think there's any benefit in reading fiction?
Well, let me tell you this. Everyone needs to relax, like, needs a time to for their brain to download and to relax and to do something that is, just to let their brain rest. So fiction is useful in that sense. And if we had Islamically oriented fiction, it's better than just having Western fiction or anime fiction or any other thing. I'm not saying these are horrible. Don't do this. That I'm coming on and saying it's haram to watch this. And some people will say that. Some shiikh will say that. But what I am saying is that
that's not your opinion. That's not your take.
Okay. Is that we also need to have an alternative. We have an Islamic alternative, and also like this can be something like you can still, if you have a fiction, it can still very much inspire people, especially some people who are the opposite, who are not really into reading a lot of nonfiction. They can be sort of inspired by
your world building, basically.
Yes, or they can learn something, because that's the thing, is I'm trying to put like the Islamic information is meant to be very accurate. It's not.
Well, I think that's very powerful in the sense that you're building this fictionalized world in order to present ideas, traditional ideas, Islamic ideas even.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good sort of send off to this particular episode. So when might we be able to read all of this? When do you suggest it's coming out?
Well, see, that's because of the Medina thing. The thing is, if I was still in Australia, I could probably give you a date, but because I'm going to Medina, inshallah, and so on, I really can't, like maybe when I'm there after a week, I might be able to give you a hint.
So, okay.
I'll be able to know when can I fit things in.
Okay.
So
maybe some of the listeners will encourage you to finish the book off and get it ready so everyone could read it.
Yeah, inshallah.
Inshallah. So, Jazakumullah khair. Thank you for joining us, Bilal Ramnak. And we hope that you have a very safe journey to start your studies. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give you beneficial knowledge and that He keep you safe in your journeys. Jazakumullah khair.